Thank you for downloading the Elohim Christian Church podcast. This morning's message is brought by Steve Parker.
First in our new series, Health Check. Yay! Four questions to gauge your spiritual health. There's far more than four questions, but we kind of felt that these four were particularly important for spiritual health in particular. And like any other health check, you might listen to three of them and think, I'm perfectly well. And listen to one and think, I maybe need to do something with that one. And when we go for a health check physically, there's certain things like, you're perfectly fine, but you might want to just do something about this. So open up, be ready to hear what's happening. And even if you sat there thinking, well, I do that anyway, or I'm perfectly healthy in that area, then praise God for that. And spend the time praising him through the word and the message. So Steve, yeah. Over to you, mate.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Shane. I couldn't have put it better myself. So, thank you for that intro into the new series. And we're going to start off with our first one, and it is entitled, Am I Undercover? Ooh. Okay, you may, those of you who've been around for a bit may have remembered that we did a whole series on this with John Bevere. John Bevere brings another exciting message. And that was some time, great message and great series that we did some time ago, talking about, are we undercover? And we're going to dig into that a little bit. It's nothing to do with your duvet. Okay. Though some of you may be yawning out there. Sorry. Right, and it's nothing to do with being 007 either. Okay. Very sorry about that. But no, it's taken from Psalm 61, verse 4. Safe beneath the shelter of your wings. Okay. So that's talking about God's people coming under the shelter of God's wing, the picture of God being, say, like a mother hen or some other fowl. Not fowl, but fowl. And they cover their chicks with their wings for protection. Okay, that's where God wants us to be, close to him. Okay, God wants us close to him. Coming under his protection, you know, close enough to hear his heartbeat. Yeah. Close enough to feel the heat from his body, if you like. Yeah. You know, if you get that picture. That's how close God wants us to be. So God in his love wants to protect us. That's good news. That's good news. He does it in many ways. And the way I want to focus on this morning is being under the cover of God's appointed leadership structure. Okay. We will see. It is a choice whether we want to do that or we don't. Like so many things in the kingdom of God, God gives us a free will. Yeah. And we've got to use that free will, whether we want to go his way, whether we want to go our own way. And I'm sure we're all kind of grown up enough to know now that going God's way is the good way. It's going to lead to a good, fruitful, prosperous life where we can be used by him. And the other way isn't. Okay. Right, so God establishes all authority on earth. Are we up there, Angus? Could we put the scriptures up, please, mate? Thank you again for sorting that for me. We're in Romans 13, verses 1 and 2. So I just want to build a little picture here. You're going to like this, I hope. You might not do. Might get a little bit uncomfortable, but you know. It's like Pastor Shane said, you know, all you've got to do is just kind of examine yourself. And that's all we're doing this morning is examining ourselves. That's what they tell us to do, isn't it? The medical life. We're not going to go into the details of that. But for males, females and all the rest of that, check out yourself. Make sure you're all healthy, etc. So that's what we're doing this morning. Verse 1. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities for all. How many is that? All. Quite an amazing statement. For all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. That's a strong scripture to start off with, isn't it? It's a strong scripture to start off with. So, here we are. We have just been elected again. A conservative government. You may have voted for them. You may not have voted for them. But it's no matter whether we did or whether we didn't. According to the Word of God, they have been put there by God, because God has given me the authority to rule. Now, whether they rule well or whether they don't rule well, I guess they've got some free choice in that as well. But what we've got to remember is God is the one who has given them that authority. Right, now, how else, in whatever areas of life, does God institute authority? Let's take a look at family. That affects us one and all. I'm just going to read this one straight out. As the church submits to Christ, let's give you the reference. Ephesians 5:24. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Everybody say everything.
Everything.
Okay, I don't think we really need to expand on that, because I know that you wives already do that already, and you know, you're just flowing in that. It's absolutely fantastic. I can tell by your faces, you're radiant. You know, you submit to your husbands in absolutely everything, and you've just totally nailed that one. So I'm just not gonna step on that one at all. Isn't that right, darling? We're doing good on that one. I'm in striking distance, so I gotta be careful. And then we're going to look at church as well. Let's see what God has to say about that. Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 12. Now, these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. Who gave them?
Christ.
Okay. Christ, God, same thing. Yeah. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and the teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Good stuff. So God in his wisdom has established authority structures. He does it because he wants to gather us into his wing. It's part of his shelter, okay, that he wants to give to his people. And the purpose of this message, again, is to make us, or to help us, make the healthy choice to come under God's covering, to come under the authority that he has given us. Okay? Healthy things grow. You've heard Pastor Shane say that over the past few weeks. You know, he wants to be able to see built and established a healthy church. Because if we've got a healthy church, then healthy things grow. Okay? Because God loves us, he wants us to be healthy. How many people here enjoy being sick?
No.
Not very pleasant, is it? Not very pleasant. You don't really hear anybody saying, "Ah, yeah, man, this headache is just absolutely the best. I'm loving this headache." And, "Oh, yeah, I just love puking up. Oh, that's just fantastic. It's the best feeling ever, you know." And you ever been to a meal and say, "Okay, let's make a toast to bad health." We just don't do it, do we? You know, we make a toast to good health. It's important that we feel healthy. And when we're not feeling good, we're just looking forward to that day when we are fit and perky again and up to full speed. So it's a healthy choice to come under the God-given authority of God's leader. Yeah. Okay, it's a healthy choice. And obviously, conversely, it's unhealthy not to. Right, God institutes leaders and expects people to follow. You know, a leader has people that are following. It's pretty simple. Okay, shepherds and sheep. The sheep follow the shepherd. So Paul, to the church at Philippi, he said this in Philippians 3:17. Dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. What a statement to make, eh? Quite incredible. See my life and copy it. What a thing to say. And isn't it fantastic if you can actually say that, and you know that people can do that because you are following Christ. All right? So this is the way it was. Paul was following Christ. He's following him in such a way that people could actually copy his behavior. because his behavior was that good. And you know, that's what it's about as leaders, because leaders are there to live as an example that can be copied and that can be followed. Obviously, that's a big challenge to leaders as well. All right, quite a challenge. An amazing thing to be able to say, though. All right. Right. God gives us leaders so that we can follow them, because the alternative is chaos. All right? Chaos. I was speaking to somebody the other day, and we was having a slight little debate about, well, God has put a little bit of leadership in all of us, or we're all leaders. And to a certain extent, I can kind of agree with that, but it was coming from it from a slightly different angle. You know, God ordains leaders to be over bodies, yeah? I think we all pretty much know that within this church. But God wants there to be a head. It's just the way that God has made things. That there always needs to be someone who is a leader that can be reported to, if you like, and they, in turn, are accountable. We're accountable here to Kingdom Faith Church. We have an apostolic link with them. And obviously, Pastor Colin, he's accountable to God, etc. All right, there's always a chain of command with God. We talk about it in military terms, don't we? He went across the chain of command. God's got a chain of command as well. Otherwise, it gets like it was in the book of Judges. There was a statement that they used to make throughout the book of Judges. It went like this, Judges 21, 28. And the same verse is kind of repeated a few times in the book of Judges. In those days, Israel had no king. You know what's coming next? All the people did whatever... Does anybody finish it off for me? Yeah, worse to that effect. Whatever seemed right in their own eyes. Yeah, in their own sight, in their own eyes. Right. Let's move on from that then. It's like saying that, hey, we're all Prime Minister. You can keep dreaming, but it's not going to make it a reality, is it? No. Leaders are established so that we can follow them, and they give direction, and they're accountable to God for it. So you can rejoice that you're not accountable to God for the direction of the church. That comes down to Pastor Shane. We've got to keep praying for him, supporting him, and helping him in every way that we can, because that's a big responsibility. You know, you don't realize it until you're actually in that position yourself. Now, our problem is democracy. So, kingdom principles versus a democratic mindset. This is something that John Bevere brought out in his book. And if you've never read the book, I encourage you to read it. It's absolutely fantastic. It teaches really good stuff, and it will do you good. It might be very challenging for you, as it was for everybody who went through the course. But believe me, it's a challenge that's going to really bless you if you put it into practice, of course. Right, I've got news for you. God is not a Democrat. All right. He is the daddy. He's the ultimate father. Yeah. Whose every decision is good and just. Yeah. And we find shelter in the shadow of his wing. You know, he never makes a wrong or a bad or an unholy decision. And we can take comfort in that. He's fantastic. It's fantastic to believe and to know our God as Father. We're the most privileged people on the face of the earth. Okay. God never bows to public opinion, and he isn't answerable to it either. Isn't that good? Yeah. And he loves us absolutely perfectly. So, us telling God what to do is a bit like having a 2-year-old who gives their parents instructions on life. Maybe kind of cute, you know, but mum and dad know best. All right. Just a little example. Right. Romans 12, chapter 2. Nope, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. Let's try that again. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So that's just to encourage us not to have that democratic mindset, all right? To know that God It's not a Democrat. You know, he doesn't deal with, you can do it if you like, what God does. He kind of, he issues commands to us, but they're commands of love. Still gives us that free choice whether we want to choose that way or not choose that way. But every time we choose to go against what God wants, it's going to do us harm. You know, that's why God in his wisdom gives us these commands, because he wants to do us good. So here's the question. Are we submitted to God's delegated, ordained leader? This is getting down to it now. Okay. Now the pattern of this world says submission is weakness. But it's not. You've got to ask the question to say, yeah, imagine the SAS. These guys, these rough guys, you know, they do whatever their commander tells them to. Would you describe them as being weak? No, you wouldn't. You could say it to the face, but you might get slapped. Anyway, and then we ask the question again, was Jesus weak? No. No, not at all. And yet he did whatever his father had to tell him. And he was totally submitted to his heavenly father. That's why he was so effective in doing what he did when he came to earth. He established God's kingdom on earth because he was a totally submitted man. Always remember that he came as a man, you know, like us. He took on flesh and blood, the Bible puts it. He came as a man and submitted himself totally to God. He didn't kind of use any of his godness, if you like, his divinity, as we like to call it. He came as a man. He was anointed by the Holy Spirit, just like we are. But he was so submitted, and that's why he was so powerful, and he was able to see what he saw established on the face of the earth. And we're living in the goodness of that now, aren't we?
Yeah.
Because he was strong. Okay. James 4:10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. It's amazing that God honors us. It's just an amazing thing. Okay. If we learn submission with humble hearts, blessing, usefulness to God are increased exponentially. That's a good word, isn't it? Exponentially. All right. And the reverse is also true as well. If we're not submitted to God, then we're going to decrease in our effectiveness for him. If we're not submitted to the leaders that God has established, we're going to decrease in our effectiveness for him. That's just the way it is. Okay. It's in there. If you want to read it for yourself, it's there. Okay. It's pride that says you don't need to be under the cover of church leadership. And James 4:6, God opposes the pride, the proud, but favors the humble.
Right.
That's awesome, isn't it? I'm being kind, okay? I'm trying to not go in too hard here for you. But anyway, all right. Would you really want to be so daft as to think that you're smarter than God or God's word? No. Okay. Right. God's wisdom isn't our wisdom, all right? Humanly speaking, I'm older than Pastor Shane, you know. I've been a Christian longer, and because I've been a Christian longer, I would have read my Bible longer, I would have had more quiet times, you know. And, you know, how come I'm not the pastor? What's that all about? What's that all about? But that's not the way God works, all right? That doesn't qualify you, all right? Experience doesn't qualify you. What qualifies you for God is God's calling upon your life, all right? I'm blessed and I'm content that it's that way, okay? I'm happy to be under the cover of God's man.
Yeah.
You know, it brings the peace of God into my life. You find that when you do what God wants, the peace of God comes into your life. I like to call it the smile of God. You know, when you feel the smile of God upon your life, it does you good. It's like heaven's sunshine to you. All right. Okay. I'm to be submissive to my leader. We're all to be submissive to our leaders. It's the way that God has chosen it to be.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that. But okay, just keep checking yourself. That's all I'm saying. All right. All right. Do we necessarily agree on everything in the world? Me and Pastor Shane, do we agree on everything? Just because I'm kind of got to be submitted to him, doesn't mean I've got to agree with absolutely everything that he agrees with. No, no, that's not what I'm talking about at all. You know, we have interesting discussions about copyright, and we're kind of instituting a church. Stuff about copyright, how it's important that we honour copyright. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, well, there shouldn't really be any copyright in the kingdom of God. But, hey, I'm all right to submit to that. That's fine. I won that battle. It's all right. It didn't make that wrong. I know. But I'm happy to say it's just an example. Yeah. Anyway, okay. I just want the smile of God, you know, like I say, heaven's sunshine upon my life. All right. I can't preach, I can't teach with any authority if I'm not myself under authority. And it's going to be the same for all of us. Okay? A general only has authority whilst he's in the army. Out of the system, he's not going to have any. Okay? Right. Whilst he's in it, he gets orders from above, be it parliament or president, and the general then gives the order and it goes down the chain of command to the troops and to the army. And whether he agrees with it or not, he's there just to carry out that command. Okay? You have to be under authority to have any authority. Mm-hmm. All right. I remember Pastor Shane, he was speaking about an illustration that apparently I once preached, but I don't even remember preaching it then. He was talking about it. I thought, hey, that was really good. That must have been an inspiration time that I had there. But what it was along the gist of was that a shepherd sees farther than the sheep. Do you remember that one?
I do, yeah.
Yeah, a shepherd sees farther than the sheep. Because a shepherd is tall, yeah? Sheep are kind of down here. They can't see necessarily what's over the hill coming towards them. They can't see that there's a precipice. They can't see that there's a thicket that they may get caught in. But they can't even see that there's some nice green pasture that's just over there. All right, so God reveals things to his shepherds. And they're there to lead the sheep. You know, God reveals things to Pastor Shane that we wouldn't necessarily see or hear. Yes, all of us can hear from God. Absolutely true. I believe that. You know, yes, all of us get told certain things by God. But if someone who's got, say, an office of a pastor, God is going to show them strategic things for the church, okay? That's just the way that God works. Is that chain of command? Yeah, you understand that? Good. All right. Point being, we don't have to second-guess leaders' decisions because we probably don't see as they do, all right? We need to stay undercover or you can get lost. As a sheep, you can get lost. You can get eaten. You can get hungry, etc., etc. It works out bad every time. Sorry. A sheep that thinks it's a shepherd is pulling the wool over its own eyes. Oh dear. Okay. God is looking for an obedient people because it leads to fulfillment and fruitfulness. Yeah. Humble yourself and God will raise you up. There is no other way. It's just the law that God has put in there. Okay? I'm wondering in the past, in fact I probably know the answer, has Pastor Shane ever done things out of submission that he wouldn't necessarily agreed with? I'm sure he has. Did it bring God's smile? Yes, it did. Yeah. You know? Only the humble get exalted. There's no shortcuts and no special deals, you know? No favourites with God. We all get treated the same. We're all God's favourite. God loves us all exactly the same. I'm God's favourite, so we all are. Okay. Right. Like Jesus, you can't lead without humility. And it works its way down the chain of command. There was things, I'm sure, that Jesus didn't want to do. In fact, we know that there was that time he did not want to go to the cross. God, you know, if it be, you know, all things are possible with you, but still, not my will, but your will be done. And because of that, we are here today. And our place is now in heaven. Sometimes it takes great courage, yeah, to follow God's appointed leadership structure. Okay. Are we to submit to our leaders in heart and in deed? That's a question. Are we? Oh, thank you. Right, let's have a look. Hebrews chapter 13. verse 17. Cracking scripture, this one. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls, and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for your benefit. There's no wriggle room there, is there? No wriggle room there at all. So obedience, that deals with our actions. And submission, that deals with our attitudes. So actions and attitude, two A's for you. Okay, that's how we've got to be submitted to our spiritual leaders that God has put over us. There was Saul, before he became Paul, he was persecuting the church, and Jesus had to knock him down. Yeah, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goads. A goad is a big old pointy stick that they used to prod in cattle to get them going in the right direction. And as you can imagine, trying to kick against that, it's just going to be a bad idea. You're just going to get hurt. It's just not healthy for you. Okay. Not obeying in deed or in heart leaves you stuck in a rut, and you won't get out of it until you repent. The Bible just talks about repent is a change of mind, a change of heart. You stop what you're doing and you go in a different direction. You don't want to get yourself stuck in a rut, guys. It's not good. Like I say, God has no favorites, and we all get treated the same, and we've all got to come through the same way. He doesn't change any of his principles for us, but he expects us to change. God can be a lot more stubborn than we are. I found that out. Okay. Not following God's leaders leads to spiritual death. I'm not saying you're going to drop down dead, but there's something inside of you can be killed. Yeah? Something inside you can die. Yes, God can resurrect it. But you imagine, we haven't got time to dig into all the scriptures, but the Israelites, when they were following Moses at the time of the Exodus, there was lots of grumblings, there was lots of complaining. And when they questioned Moses and Aaron's leadership credentials, eventually it all kind of came down to just two people survived from that whole generation because of the moaning, because of the complaining about the leaders that God has established over them. God said, that's it. None of this generation is going to enter into the promised land. And there was only two, Joshua and Caleb, who made it out of the wilderness into the promised land. Let me tell you, God does not want that for you. He wants you to be in a place where you are going to be so blessed. He wants you to be in a place where you're going to be so fruitful. Yeah, he just wants to lavish his love upon you. We're going to take a quick look at 16 verse 8 just to nail the point a little bit. So the people have been grumbling again about Moses and Aaron. And this is what it says. Then Moses added, the Lord will give you meat to eat in the evening and bread to satisfy you in the morning. For he has heard all your complaints against him. What have we done? Yes, your complaints are against the Lord and not against us. Although they had kind of directed their complaints towards Moses, Moses turned it around and said, look, you're not moaning against me, you're moaning against God. And that's the way that it is. You know, we find ourselves moaning against leaders that are over us, then we're not moaning about that leader. We're moaning against God who has established them above us. Strong, isn't it? Strong. Okay. Complaining leads to insubordination. Okay, it leads to insubordinate behavior, which leads to deception because you think you're justified to feel the way that you do. Mm-hmm. Sorry about that. Just as Eve was deceived and it brought death, rebellion against God's command and his covering will bring a spiritual death into certain areas of your life. Okay? Yeah? Deception is very subtle. Just by its nature, we know deception is subtle. If we open the door to it a little bit, it can be like an opening the door to a flood. You ever seen those films where there's a massive flood and they open the door and then all of a sudden all the water comes gushing in, comes rushing in, it can knock you off your feet. Okay. The devil deceives and attacks the submissive heart by saying things like, you're not being cared for. You're not being fed. You're being mistreated. You're justified in feeling the way that you do. And you can go through different churches in the land. You can speak to different leaders or different people. And you can hear that kind of thing that comes out from people. And it just goes down through the ages. You can see it throughout the Bible as well. If you go into the Exodus story and read the story of the Israelites coming out of Egypt, going through the wilderness before they got into the promised land, and you can see the things that they said. Moses, why don't you feed us? Give us water. You're not taking care of us. You've broken your promise to us. You know, all these kind of things that come against those that God has put as leaders above us. All right. It certainly wasn't healthy for them, shall we say. And it's not going to be healthy for you either. Okay? Conversely, if you have humility and you're being undercover, it is going to open the door to fruitfulness, to anointing, to usefulness. You can imagine the flood of God's love. Open that door again, but this time you're a submitted heart, okay? You open that door, then God's blessing, God's anointing, and God's fruitfulness can pour into your life. God only anoints what he's into, okay? If you want to be an anointed person, you've got to be a submitted person. Because God can't anoint rebellion. Okay? Deception hammers your shoe to the floor. And you can just go around and around and around. Just like the Israelites did. They went around that mountain again and again and again. And you just get more and more frustrated. We need to make sure that we can get that nail of deception out of our shoe so that we can move in the direction that God wants us to go. Yeah? Pass the submission test, and that's how we get the nail out of our shoe. God's smile is upon us, and we would never regret it. God loves you. He wants you to be fruitful, but he's going to wait until you're healthy because he doesn't want any sickness spreading to other people. Think about that. It could be contagious, can't it? Yeah. If we've got sickness going on inside of us spiritually, we want to be able to minister to other people. He's not going to let us do it. Yeah, because we're going to spread that sickness. Now, we're going to pray. And maybe you think to yourself, well, I'm feeling pretty healthy. Praise God. Praise God for that, all right? Heaven's sunshine is on you. You're getting that vitamin D from God. You're pretty submitted. You're loving it, and you know that you're in a good place. You know, so the encouragement this morning is stay in that place. You know, stay in that place. Stay in that submitted place where God just wants to lavish his love upon you. Like I say, he wants to gather you close to himself. Just know that God wants you so close to himself because he is that God of love. All right. Maybe you're not feeling too bad, and you know that you could do a bit of a lifestyle change. You know, the medical guys and the fitness guys will say you need a few lifestyle changes to get you feeling in top shape again. Well, we can do that, and the way that Christians do that spiritually, obviously, is we choose to repent. Yeah, we choose to make a change of mind, make a change of actions, and get ourselves back into the place where God wants us to be. Okay, it's all in here, guys. You will know how to live. Read your Bible, put it into practice. Yeah? Maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm feeling a little bit rough now you mention it. You know, I'm feeling a little bit queasy. I recognise that I've got some ugly symptoms with my life. And I realise I've got to take some drastic action. I've got some news for you today. God loves you and that he wants you healthy. You know, don't be deceived. Act now. You know, get undercover because God wants to pour out his blessing upon you. Let God restore your joy and your life and your fruitfulness. And you are just going to see those benefits. Other people are going to see those benefits. This church is going to reap those benefits. If you need prayer, by all means, come and get it. You know, if there's anything that you need clarification on or whatever and you want to speak to us afterwards, feel free to do that as well. I'm open to that. That's fine. I'm sure Pastor Shane is open to that as well. Obviously, without being a little bit embarrassing, you know, if if you need to talk to Pastor Shane after the meeting, you recognise that maybe there's some attitudes, some actions that haven't been right, and you want to put them right. God loves it when we do that. It just releases so much blessing, yeah? God has got grace for us all. God has grace for us all. And yeah, let's just be constantly in prayer for our leaders. You know, it is a tough... I'm talking like I'm not a leader, isn't I? I'm actually one myself, yeah? Appreciate your prayers, you know? Pray for Pastor Shane, you know? Pray for myself, pray for Faye, pray for the department heads, you know, anyone who's got any kind of leadership responsibility. Do just constantly be praying for us, keeping us in your prayers, because it can be tough. It can be hard, okay? So we just love your support. I love it knowing that you're a church that's behind us, and we want to be going places together, don't we?
Yeah.
Okay, but like I say, if you do need to take action, make sure you take it, you know? God's grace is there for us. You just come close. I want you to be close. Get under shelter. I've given you this place of protection. I want you to be undercover. I want you to receive my blessing. I want you to be close enough where you can hear my heartbeat, you know. I want you to feel the warmth of me next to you. That's God's will for every single one of us. Okay, don't think that it isn't, because it absolutely is. Now, we're going to pray. So let's close our eyes. It's always a good idea. Yeah, Heavenly Father, I thank you that you do just love us so much, Lord God. And God, I realize that some of the stuff that has come over this morning is strong stuff. And Lord, if it's been over strong, then I pray, Lord, that you'll blow that away, Lord. But whatever was good and whatever, Lord, was right from you, we pray, Lord God, that we're just going to be able to implement it into our hearts, into our lives, Lord God. And I pray that any unhealthy areas of our life, we pray, Lord, that you're just going to shine your light on it, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that your word does that. I thank you, Lord, that it shines a light into the areas of our life and exposes things, Lord God. And I pray that, Lord, if there's areas in our life that aren't healthy, we're just going to be able to sort that out and get them healthy again, Lord God. And I thank you, Lord, that you do that, Lord. Not to burden us, not to beat us up, Lord, but because you have such a great love for us, Lord God. And you just want us close to yourself, Lord God. And I pray, Lord God, as you or as we draw near to you, you promised, Lord, that you are going to draw near to us, Lord God. And Lord, I want to thank you, Lord, for every person who is here, Lord God, all the kids that are here as well. I want to pray, Lord, that you are just going to bless us. You're going to help us to be healthy in you, Lord. And we are just going to see all your goodness coming to us. We're going to see the growth that you have promised to us, Lord God, because we're living healthy lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen.